السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم وتحنن على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصلي اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو شاء ربك لآمن من في الأرض كلهم جميعا أفأنت تكره الناس حتى يكونوا مؤمنين. This verse illustrates the importance of religious freedom and the freedom of worship. God says to the Prophet, if your Lord had willed, he would have made all people one community, meaning one religious community, one madhab, one faith. But he did not do that. He did not create people. He did not force them to embrace one faith, one religious tradition. He didn't. Why he didn't? Because the act of faith belongs to your heart, and it has to be about choice. If we have no choice in selecting faith or religion, then there is no worth in following that religion. It would not be fruitful to us if we don't have choice. If we are forced to follow a tradition, then we are not going to be genuine, and this will create hypocrisy. It means that you are following something that you don't understand or you don't like. Whereas Allah wants us to believe in religion and accept it out of conviction, out of reason, out of understanding, out of love. This should be our choice. The day religion starts to have a value, not only a value, but an effect on our life, is when it becomes my choice. My choice. I have selected this religion, not somebody forced me. The government forced me to be Muslim, or my parents, or my family, or my tradition, or my community. I have selected that. Therefore, Allah says to the Prophet, don't force people. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسِ. Are you going to force? تُكْرِه means compel. Are you going to compel people حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ to accept faith? Don't do that. Don't force them. Teach them. Educate them. Present Islam to them, but don't force them. Don't force anyone, even in your family, even in your community. We have seen using force in the family, it would result in a failure, in many children, many daughters and sons running away from religion because their parents forced them. We have seen forcing a people of a country to be religious results in people fleeing from religion and becoming anti-religion because the government is forcing them. We should not use the policy of force. We should use the policy of education. Encouragement, yes. How do we keep our children Muslims? Encouragement, education, show them the benefit of being religious, being committed to their faith, to their religion, to their Lord. Once they realize the benefit, once they realize the difference between someone who's practicing and someone who's not non-practicing, then they're going to follow. And there, when they follow, they become genuine. They learn honesty. They don't learn hypocrisy. They learn honesty. Because this is a relationship between them and God. Not them and their government or their parents. Them and God. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ Allah says, I could have made, designed people in a way, programmed their brains and their minds to follow only one faith. I could have done that. It was easy, but I didn't do that. I wanted them to select, to choose, to think. Therefore, there are two ways today of following faith and religion. One is the classical way, traditional way, the way that some people use it in their some countries, in their countries, through inheritance. They pass religion to their children, to their grandchildren, through inheritance. Children learn religion from their parents through inheritance. They inherit religion. And there is the other way, which is through education, through discovery, through research. Children, they embrace religion through research because they made their own research. Yes, the parents, they encouraged them, but the parents did not do the entire job for them. They encouraged them in the beginning, but then the children, they went, they studied, they read, they researched, they discovered Islam. The discovery of Islam is more important than inheriting Islam. When you inherit Islam, just because your father, he likes this religion, your mother, she likes this religion, not you, then you're going to lose it soon. As we see with many communities who came to America, when you speak to them today, my mother is Muslim. My mother is Muslim. My grandmother is Muslim. So he is not Muslim. He's himself, he's not Muslim. He does not believe in Islam. But his family. Why? Because they didn't read about Islam. They never opened a book to see what Islam is all about. This is the result. When religion is imposed, they're going to lose religion. These generations, they don't want to identify themselves with Islam. But when they learn, they study, they research, they compare Islam to others, they start learning. It might take some while. Some parents are worried about their children, that he read two books, three books, but he's still not Muslim. With two or three books, a person cannot change his entire perspective, his entire understanding. The journey to faith takes time. And the longer it takes, the better it becomes. It has to be built gradually, slowly, slowly. Sometimes I become worried when someone who's not religious, overnight he becomes very religious. I become worried about that. He worries me. This is not normal. The journey to religion takes time, days, weeks, months, sometimes years. Sometimes years. We have to digest these ideas. We have to read. We have to debate about them. We have to meditate about them. Reflect. And then at the end, inshallah, the guidance is from the Lord. So in Islam, we have a freedom of choice and a freedom of religion, which is embedded in our constitution, in our book. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Do you impose religion on people? You should not do that. You should not impose it at all. Let them choose religion. The value of their religiosity when they choose when they have the freedom of discovering it, not when they don't have a choice and they have to follow it blindly. In some Arab countries, they force people to be religious. Therefore, the majority of them are non-religious. When they get the freedom to leave that country, some of them, they become atheists. People of that country, they become atheists. And that tells you a lot. Tells you because they never understand the value of religion, the meaning of religion. They never. It was imposed on them. In this country also, this administration is undermining important American values. One of the most important values of this country is to be welcoming of all faiths, all religions, without discrimination. One of the most important principles of this country, where this country was built upon, is the principle of the religious neutrality. That in this country, the government is neutral when it comes to religion. Does not favor one religion over the other. Does not fight one religion. Does not ban one religion. And that is embedded in the Bill of Rights. But when you see the leader of this country, political leader, he says we have to shut down the Muslims from entering the United States. On another occasion, he says, Islam hates us. This is very dangerous. Islam does not hate except the shaitan, except Satan and those who promote satanic policies and strategies. Why does Muslims hate America? Why? Muslims are prosperous here. They have a freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of work, freedom of expression. They don't hate. Islam does not hate anyone. Islam is about integration. Islam is about compassion and love and working together, an interfaith relationship. So this person is misinformed. Islam does not hate anyone. Islam is about love. And therefore, this country was established on the premise and the promise of that people of all faiths should be welcome to this country. When you ban them and you institutionalize Islamophobia and discrimination in this country, this is a very dangerous trend. You are compromising and undermining the American values. And we should all stand up for that. We should not be silent. Not because of us as a Muslim community, but because of this country, the entire country. If we allow injustice to take a place against one community and we don't say anything, that injustice is going to increase and spreads to other communities. And therefore we have to stand up for that, especially the young generation, especially those who go to universities. We have to use the social media to defend not only our religion Islam, but to defend this country and the principles and the values where this country were established upon. We have to defend them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytih al-tayyibin al-tahirin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته، علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. Many of you heard what happened 3 days ago in America when the Supreme Court, the highest judiciary office in this country, upholds the travel ban by the president. And I have 3 comments here. One is that when you hear about the independence of the judiciary system, then you have to realize that this is a myth. It's not a reality. There is no such thing called judiciary system being independent from the influence of politics and politician. This incident proves that the Supreme Court in the most powerful democratic countries, which is America, is not independent. This is not what I say here as a Muslim, but this is a study, a research, a conclusion of many American people, including the New York Times. The New York Times was saying that the party that controls the Senate, which is in this case the Republicans, has significant sway over the direction of the Supreme Court. Have a significant sway over the direction that the Supreme Court takes. And that means that judiciary is not independent. This is a myth. This is not a true. Even those judges, because they are human beings, and they are governed and driven by their emotions, sometimes by their emotions, by their sentiments, by their feelings, and most importantly, by their interests in this life. The only one who has no interest, narrow interest in this life is God. God has no bias. God has no discrimination, because everybody belongs to Him. He is the Father of everything and everyone without discrimination. He is the Father of those who believe in Him and those who disbelieve in Him. God's system does not have bias and discrimination, but others, they do. The second comment is that, my friends, it's important for us in this country to vote. It's important. If you want to preserve your existence, peaceful existence in this country, then you must exercise your right of citizenship. Many immigrants in this country, they think right of citizenship is to get an American passport, period. Travel with American documents. That's not the only exercise of your citizenship. The most important thing in your citizenship is to decide who's ruling me, who's governing my life, who's deciding my fate and the fate of my children. This is more important than anything else. And therefore, you have to make an informed decision. Many people, I asked them during these primary elections, the past ones, I asked them, are you voting? They said, no, why? He says, because I don't know anyone. This is, the Arab says, عذرٌ أقبح من ذنب. عذر بدتر از گناه. When you don't know. Why you don't know? You have to know. This is not an excuse that you don't know. Where do you live? You don't live in America? You don't have a television? There are no social medias? When it comes to jokes, mashallah, you know about every joke that circulates. You read it, you memorize it. But when it comes about your future, you don't know about the candidate. We have organizations here, political advocacy groups. Go to them, go to their website, ask your children. If you are at an age where you don't understand politics very well, ask your children, the young generation. They tell you. Children at the age of 17 and 18 and 19, they can tell you. Make an informed decision when you go to the ballot box. And you must go. If you have not registered, you must register, my friends. You must register. If you don't do, then you're going to lose. And then we keep complaining. We Muslims, we complain. But we don't find the solution. We don't bring the solution. And with only complaining, we are not going to succeed in this country. We must do something positive in this country. We must choose, because politicians are not going to choose the right solution for us. Politicians, they are concerned about their own self-interests, not the interest of the country. Politicians, they want to stay in power. They want to get your votes so they can stay in their seats. They don't care what happens to the country, to the people. They care what happens for them, to themselves. We, the people, we decide the journey of democracy, not politicians. Politicians, sometimes they compromise democracy, but the people have to stand. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. People have to stand for democracy and justice and peace and happiness. People. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ. Not the government. So next time when there are elections, one of them is coming in November, you have to know about that. You have to ask. We had this in the past and we're going to have it again. Here at this masjid, we're going to have voter registration desk. For those who have not registered, we help them to register. And we are not going to tell you who to vote to. This is not our job. You have to exercise this freedom and this understanding, and you have to vote for the one that you think is going to not just benefit Muslims, but benefit this country at large. The third point is that the president, regarding the Muslim ban, when he banned 6 or 7 countries, countries like Yemen. Yemen, they don't have food to eat, let alone to buy a ticket to come to America. You know, Somalia, Syria, Iran, and then what else? Libya. No, Iraq was removed. And then North Korea and Venezuela. These countries. He said, I am doing this travel ban, enforcing it and advocating it to defend the country against terrorism, crime, and extremism. And I say to the president that if you want to defend this country against terrorism, you know, the person who killed 5 journalists yesterday in Maryland was not from Yemen, neither from Syria, nor from North Korea. Did you know that 5 journalists at a newspaper were killed yesterday in the newsroom? He's white American and he's a Christian. He's not a Muslim. He's not an immigrant. So don't say I am defending my country against terrorism, so I ban these 7 countries. This is not right. If you want to really defend the country against terrorism, don't put your hand in the hands of dictators and tyrants in the region who kill their own people. Don't stand with the regimes against the people. If you really want to promote democracy, don't sell weapons to countries and regimes who bomb Yemen and other countries. Yemen is one example. Who use their weapons and their F-16s against the civilians. Don't do that. This is the way you stop terrorism. This is the way you stop extremism. If you want to protect America, stand with democracy, not with dictatorship and corruption. The first country you visited after they elected you was Saudi Arabia, which is well known for their violations of human rights. Saudi Arabia is rejoicing a huge victory. What is it? Democratic victory, allowing women to drive after 200 years. This is a big victory. Allowing them to drive, but they put so many of them in jail because they just tweeted that we are happy we are driving tomorrow. This is all what they said. They put them in jail. You are hurting the dignity of the kingdom. Where is democracy in these countries? You are helping them. You are helping. Mr. President, you yourself said that those Gulf states, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, they cannot stand without that. They cannot stand for 1 week without the help of America. You know that. So why you are aiding them and helping them against their people? Why? With what you do, you are promoting extremism and terrorism. You are promoting it. You are not fighting it. The way to put down terrorism and extremism is to promote education rather than weapons. Sell education, sell healthcare to your people and others, not weapons of mass destruction. You are selling weapons for crazy people who are not using it to build, but to kill and destroy. This is wrong policy. This is the way. This is the way to bring happiness to America. People have no problem with America. People are not sick. They have no problem with America. If people have a problem, they have a problem with you and your mentality. Not America as people, America as a culture. They have a problem when we stand with the wrongdoers, with the zalim, with those who oppress, with those who kill, with those who use the policy of apartheid in Palestine and elsewhere. Otherwise, people have no problem with America or with Americans. But sometimes we force them, we drive them. We drive them to be extremists. We, through the policy of poverty and negligence. Who can imagine 8 million people today are starving to death in Yemen? Do you hear about it in the news? You don't hear about that. 8 million people are starving to death. This is not a tragedy that we must address and speak about and find a solution. Rather than finding a solution, you send more weapons to Saudi Arabia to bomb this country. Is this a solution? So my friends, it is our responsibility to speak, to bring awareness. As-sakitu an al-haq shaytanun akhras. If you speak and you don't address these issues, the hadith says you are like a Satan who's a mute, who's not saying anything. We must change. We must speak. We must raise our voice. We must stand. Otherwise, we are going to be held accountable before God. What did you do? You are an American citizen. And from your tax money, they purchased these weapons. They built these weapons and they sent them from your money. You are responsible, so you must speak up against this. We have upcoming events, inshallah. On Thursday, this coming Thursday, we are commemorating the martyrdom of Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, this coming Thursday, inshallah. And on Saturday, we will have the Arabic session. Saturday, not this Saturday, 3 days from now, or 2 days, or tomorrow actually, but Saturday, July 7th, inshallah. We're going to have the Arabic session at 7 p.m. And also we have two camps coming up. One for the juniors, and you can find the flyer, and one for the youth. And we must send our youth to these camps. We must encourage them. They learn. Many of the youth in this country, especially Muslim youth, they suffer from depression. They suffer from lack of role model. Some of them, they don't have parents. Some of them, they have parents, but their parents are not very active in their lives. So they come to these camps and they learn. They learn akhlaq. They learn how to be strong. They learn self-esteem and self-respect. They learn how to establish relationships with their friends, with their brothers. So this is an opportunity for them to learn, to get inspired, encourage them. As a father, as a mother, facilitate this journey for them. If you don't have a son and daughter to send, sponsor one or two to send them to these camps. And that camp is going to be the retreat, youth retreat, August 3rd until August 6th, inshallah. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين وعجل في فرج إمامنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد